Here's Higdon. It sits up nicely for Michael Higdon. And what a start for Motherwell. But here's Malt, and he goes for it for Son. Magnificent Malt. Stephen Robinson celebrates. Motherwell, 2-1. And could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr. And Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid, who scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
Hello and welcome to the latest special of MFC Podcast. Today I'm joined by Graeme Thulis to review the 2019-20 season from a Motherwell perspective. Now, Graeme, I suppose we've not actually completed the 19-20 season, or have we? We're not going to have that debate today.
Please no. Please let us not talk about that.
What we're going to do is we'll just start from June, back in Northern Ireland when the season set off. We'll go right through to March and the game at Tynecastle against Hearts, where ultimately it looks like our season finished. First though, how are you getting on? Are you doing all right?
Yeah, all good here. Spending an awful lot of time trying to make up wee things to do, including making videos about shaving my own face just out of sheer boredom more than anything else. And then appearing on the terrace and appearing on here and doing trying to keep as many sort of interesting things going in my life as I possibly can at the moment, because it's a strange time. The most important thing is that you're sort of keeping yourself, more than anything else, just keeping your mind active and keeping yourself active in terms of what you're doing. So, thanks very much for having me on. It's a real pleasure to be here and be doing something, just talking about Motherwell. I reckon I can probably survive that.
I'm sure we'll have a bit of fun with it. And I thoroughly recommend the shaving video as well. It was excellent. So, we started with a defeat at Crusaders. We then went to Linfield and I'm sure people had a lovely day. They're a very nice club. Then a 7-0 victory at Gretna, mainly risen to prominence that game for a bicycle kick goal.
From 77 trialist. Aye.
Yeah. Initially suggested it was Elliot Freer as well, which I think...
That was never really cleared up, that Freer was allegedly on the bench, but then wasn't he on the bench at all? Never been quite sure about that one, whether how close Freer came back to returning to us, but thankfully he didn't, so happy days.
Well, the only kind of negative about that was it was actually Christy Mazinga, and I'm sure we'll talk about him a bit later on. It was a hell of a goal, and that's really all I've got to say.
That's about the limit of what we've got to say from that, yeah.
Darlington followed in a friendly, and then the proper stuff kicked off in the Betfred Cup, a 3-0 win and Dumfries against Queen of the South. That's kind of one that I can remember going into thinking, well, pre-season's been fairly decent. They seem to be scoring a lot of goals, but that could have been a bit of a banana skin to go to Palmerston and win 3-0.
Again,
start.
The way that game sort of played out as well, because I remember sort of trying to follow updates on that as well, and I'd been at sort of, for various reasons, had actually been at Queen of Palmerston at the very last day of last season as they sort of scrapped out to see themselves safe in the playoffs against Raith Rovers, and again it was a really stuffy team, and obviously Dobby's got real quality up front, but again I totally agree with you. The longer the game went on, and then as it turned out it didn't matter because we had Liam Donnelly just scoring all the goals at that point, so it just sort of resolved that as an issue for us.
Yeah, it certainly followed up by the 4-0 win against Morton, and Sherwin Seedorf and Jermaine Hilton got off to a hell of a start as well. I know as fans we love wingers that are quick and exciting. They certainly really caused a bit of hype to begin with, at least.
Oh, that was, I mean, the Morton game on BT Sport was sort of that perfect storm of being brand new in the season, new signings, that excitement, and that moment of just about everyone convinced that we were going to finish third straight off the defeating a mid-table championship side 4-0. Which, I mean, to be fair, as it turned out to be absolutely correct. But there were a couple of wee up and downs in between there as well. But that, more than anything else, that was just a fun night watching football, and it really did this season has been a very weird one, kind of from start to finish in a lot of ways. But I've had an awful lot of fun watching us, and that night kind of really sort of cemented that as, do you know what, we're going to win some games this season, we're going to lose some games badly this season as well, but I think we're going to be really good fun this season just with the quality, the collection of players that we've assembled. So I think the Morton result in the end kind of showed, at the time I remember worrying that it was just going to be, like, we've beaten somebody in the Championship, people are getting a wee bit carried away here, but as it turned out, it was pretty much on the money. So yeah, good, delighted.
Yeah, I mean, we won the group quite convincingly, a 2-0 win at Dumbarton in the midweek.
In the longest grass in the history of Scottish football.
Yeah, it's interesting when teams are actually... I've always kind of liked the shithousery of, for instance, Alloa narrowing the pitch and things like that. Dumbarton deciding that they just weren't going to cut the grass to try and stop us playing a free-flowing attacking football was an interesting tactic. Yep. And to be fair, for the best part of that game, it was pretty dire. Yep. In fact, I say that, I couldn't really see most of the game because the sun was so low.
Of course, because it's just put us straight across the bay directly into your eyes.
But we got the job done, and then the Anning game again, it was fairly routine. And you went to the first day of the season, I can remember meeting you outside Livingston, and you were full of optimism.
Shorts and t-shirt, happy days, had an ice cream.
Exactly. I had a nice McDonald's before that game as well. I was just full of optimism. It was going to be great. We were scoring goals. We weren't conceding goals. And I suppose we didn't concede any, but unfortunately we didn't score. And it was turgid. I think the most exciting thing I saw that day was David Turnbull walking around the park in his crutches, and a guy absolutely hammered trying to pick him up. The guy's just had serious surgery, and there was somebody trying to put him over his shoulder. definitely the most exciting part of the game, watching the security guy trying to kind of wrestle this guy off David Turnbull.
That and Jake Carroll trying to murder Nicky Devlin with sort of 5 minutes to go.
Oh yeah, it was a retrospective red card for that, wasn't it?
it was a real pleasure. I really enjoyed that one as well, because at the time, obviously from the opposite side at Livingston, saw nothing of it. It was just, I had two boys coming together with about 12 people in between me and seeing it. I looked a bit wild, but who can really tell? And then you saw the replay afterwards. You're like, he's tried to break him in two, and seeing boys try to make an argument that he's been hard done by there. He started in his thigh. If you put studs into somebody's thigh and start walking up the way, that's probably a red card.
Yeah, pretty much a sign of what was to come with Jake Carroll. While I think he has had a good season, I must confess, I'm not his biggest fan. I think he can be quite rash, but certainly he's capable of one of those tackles that will get you off your seat. And sometimes we like to see that. It's kind of, let's be perfectly blunt about the situation. He didn't end anyone's career. He got a retrospective red card. So
everybody's in the end, everybody's happy, I think.
Except,
I presume Nicky Devlin, who's still trying to pick bits of stud out of him.
It's not really the kind of tackle you want to then land in a artificial surface either, but that was definitely the highlight. I'd forgotten about that. I did remember the enthusiasm in the McDonald's though. Then the following week, Celtic come to Firth Park and we go 1-0 up, thinking, here we go, this is the prophecies of third place, forget that, we can
win the league.
And we're going to lose the game 5-2, and I don't think we could really have too many complaints.
No, I thought that was a really funny game at the time as well, because for the best part, essentially until Griffiths put Celtic ahead, for the vast majority of the first half, I thought we were the better team. In that game, I thought at the very least we were competing throughout the game. The failure of Hilton to track Ayer, the biggest man on the field, hurtling back from right back up into the Motherwell 18-yard box, still remains unfathomable to me, that you just can't manage to see the biggest human on the park. But that I think that game kind of summed up our sort of, certainly the early part of the season and a big chunk of our season as well, because a lot of the players in that game had wee moments and flashes where they looked absolutely terrific, but stuff like Hilton just completely failing to track his man, there was just a bit of a naive nature in the team as well at that point. There was a few of the guys who just weren't quite up to speed yet, and it really, certainly the second half, as Celtic really sort of turned it on. You could see them looking around, and it's a good test for players at that point as well, because you start to see the guys that actually, well, that's the level I need to get to, and that's how I get there. And certainly in a few of the cases, they certainly got there, and a couple of others, I mean, they still quite haven't got there yet. But in the end, if you're going to take a doing off Celtic, take a doing in the second week of the season. If you're going to take a doing off somebody, do it then, learn your lessons, and then improve, which we certainly did.
Yeah, we did, but not quite immediately. I suppose the following game was Hearts in the Cup.
Yeah.
And for me, I would put that up there with one of the worst performances of the season. It was a rotten night, which any time we play in the League Cup, when you think it might actually be sunny and pleasant to go along to the football, it's a Friday night game in this instance. It was absolutely horrendous. They get a goal just before half-time and then doubled their lead right on half-time with a penalty. Mark Gillespie had already saved a penalty at that point as well, which he does time and time again, must be said.
Yeah.
We got a goal back with half an hour to go, and you're thinking, again, it's game on, half an hour to get back at a bang average Hearts side, as they've gone to prove over the course of the season.
They just did nothing. Yeah, that's the real disappointment. Both of the cup exits this season were really disappointing. The St Mirren win we'll come on to later, and that's a completely different kettle of fish. But the Hearts win in particular was a real disappointment. And like you say, it maybe just fell for us at just the wrong time. If it hadn't been a week later, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, I think we'd comfortably have seen Hearts off. But given how poor Hearts have shown themselves to be throughout the course of the season, that result's a real disappointment. And even On a minging, howling night, as you say, with Clare missing a penalty early on, you're looking at going, yeah, here we go, right? We've dug ourselves out here, we've got ourselves back in, and then conceding the two goals just before half-time from what was a wonder strike for Michael Smith and the penalty from Conor Washington as well. It was just that's the real disappointment of the season for me. And the League Cup, you always feel like you've got a chance in the first half of the season. By the time you get to Christmas and you realise quite where you are and where you're sitting in the league, it can be, the Scottish Cup can be a wee bonus later on, but the League Cup, when you're, particularly for us, we seem to have been starting seasons well. It seems that it kind of suits us in that way. That was the real disappointment for me this season. The Scottish Cup exit was disappointing as well, but the League Cup really felt like a big opportunity there. The Hearts were, as it turns out, not a great side at all, and to go out to them was very disappointing.
Yeah, it can sometimes just open up quite quickly, the League Cup as well. The path to Hampden, but it wasn't to be, and the team had to bounce back, and they did with back-to-back wins, first in the derby. Aki's a 3-1 victory, and a comfortable 3-1 win, I would say. Chris Long getting his first league goal. Liam Donnelly scoring a penalty again. They were down to 10 quite early on in the game. I'm just looking at that just now. It was 20 minutes Jamie Hamilton gets sent off.
One of his 45 red cards this season.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, Jake Carroll battling it out in the Lanarkshire derby of red cards. But yes, a very emphatic victory, and even more so the following week against Heckey's Hibs, who really, they were a poor, poor lot, it must be said. And it was still in the balance. Sherwin Seedorf scored in the first half. Liam Donnelly scored a penalty again. And then Jermaine Hilton wrapped it up with just a couple of minutes to go.
One of my real sort of abiding memories of this season is us giving Hibernian fullbacks at Firth Park an absolutely torrid time. Whitaker in this game was... Whitaker made Seedorf look like the best player that I'd seen all season. And then latterly in the season, Hilton against Tom James at right back as well. In a game that I don't think we even won, but the absolute horror show that Hilton gave James over the 90 minutes was, it honestly felt like we were just bullying him as the game went further and further on. But Whittaker in that game was just unbelievably poor. For a guy of his experience, just didn't know where to start, where to stop, where to stand, what to do with Seedorf, which again is been the kind of frustration with Seedorf all season long. And he can do things like that, and he can look like a real player, and then at other points just doesn't look as if he's particularly interested at all.
Yeah, there were certainly, I don't know if it's fair to suggest, but when the sun's on their back and the pitches are nice, so there's not much chance of rain, I think you'll get really good performances out of Sherwin Seedorf and Jermaine Hilton. But there was actually, I think it was a cup game against St Mirren, and obviously it goes to extra time, so you can use the fourth sub. He was out there with a big manager's coat on, the gloves. He looked properly raging that he got sent back out to warm up. He didn't look interested. And yeah, I could kind of see why when it's a freezing cold night in February, but if you're actually wanting to make your way in the game, then you're possibly going to need to play in these conditions
At some point you'll probably need to play in the rain.
Yeah, you would think so, although he's managed to avoid it this far. So fair play. There was an international break, we come back, and then beat Hearts at Tynecastle, a really entertaining game. And again, Seedorf scores an absolute perler. It would be right up there for a contender for goal of the season for me.
Absolutely.
Hilton on target again. Hearts kind of rallied late on. The boy Machinio scores with 4 minutes to go, but we hold out for a 3-2 victory. And suddenly, Graham, we've won three in the bounce. And
got to win the league again.
Yep, so it's amazing how fortune's turning. So you're absolutely unstoppable. Ross County visit Fir Park. Alan Campbell puts us ahead. And then it all went a bit wrong. Brian Graham scores against us, obviously. Jake Carroll sent off.
The best business of the season, in all respect, was Ross County selling Brian Graham to Partick Thistle and to not another Premiership side. It was a real terror in my eyes that he was going to end up at Aki's or something like that, because Brian Graham at Aki's feels like a guy that's going to end up with about 25 goals against us over the course of about three seasons after playing about 40 minutes.
The thing is, as well, you look at Graham, his scoring record's reasonable, but his scoring record against Motherwell was absolutely phenomenal.
For various teams at various times, yes. Brian Graham going to Partick Thistle has been a real treat for us.
Yeah, certainly a real thorn in our side. And they go on. I think that was the game that after Carroll gets sent off. So you're at the 21st of September. Jake Carroll has now been sent off twice. But we completely reorganised and never adapted to the fact that we were down to 10 and Ross Stewart grabs a goal to win it for Ross County. A bit of a disappointing one, considering
we were flying at that point. Going on a proper run at that point, and three wins in the bounce against two of the Edinburgh sides, and going to Aki's and actually winning, felt like a proper sort of gut punch. I don't know, it was under maybe McGee, we lost to Kilmarnock 2-1 in sort of similar circumstances of comfortably being ahead and controlling the game. I think it was the day that it was Phil announced the Kilmarnock scorer as Dick Turpin, along those sort of lines. Felt kind of similar to that as well. But again, all of these, the way I kind of looked at this season throughout the season was that a bunch of these guys, some of them will be here next year, some of them won't. But the ones that have been here for a year, next season we'll get an awful lot more out of them. And I do still think that's true in a lot of cases. I think Hilton next season will be a significantly better player for us than he was for the majority of this season. I like Hilton. I think he's a decent player. But I think what he's learned this season should hopefully stand him in good stead for next year. And same with guys like Carroll and stuff like that as well. The pace of the game is perhaps a little bit quicker than they're really used to as well. So,
Yeah, that's kind of surprised me. I thought that given the age difference between Sherwin Seedorf and Jermaine Hilton, I would have thought that it would have been harder to coach certain attributes of the game to Jermaine Hilton. Whereas it's kind of been the opposite, hasn't it? That Hilton, I think, has got better at tracking back. He's still far from a perfectly defensive-minded player, but his work rate and his endeavour is very good for me. Whereas Sherwin Seedorf just doesn't seem to have been able to kick on, and as a result, seems to have kind of become the forgotten man somewhat.
Yeah, and that's a huge part of that's got to be down to attitude. And I'm not questioning Seedorf's attitude, because that's an incredibly unfair thing to do. I don't see him on a day-to-day basis in training, so I've no idea. But Hilton really struck me as a sort of in a similar sort of mould to Louis Moult, in the basis that he's come up, he's been a player who has been well thought of down south. And I think that, for example, the Morton game, where he's absolutely took the Morton defence to pieces. You maybe still look at him and go, and he's thinking, maybe this is a wee bit easy for me. And then he comes into games like the Celtic game and the Livingston game and the Hearts game, and suddenly learns that, you know, I'm just not there. I'm not at it yet. I've got to if I'm going to survive here, if I'm going to live, if I'm going to survive and thrive at this level, what I've got to do is put in this work, learn to change my game a little bit this way or that way or whatever else. And he, throughout the course of the season, has really impressed me in terms of how he's managed to do that. Some of the other guys have shown it in wee bits and pieces, but Hilton, to me, consistently has kind of grown into the game as the season's gone on. And I think you saw that later on in the season when he came back into the team after dropping out a wee bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And following the county defeat, we went to McDermott Park. And
the worst miss of all time.
Yeah,
it's right up there.
I spoke to him for the programme. I think it was actually, did we play the midweek? No, we played St Mirren the following Saturday. And I spoke to Devante Cole after this game. It was very difficult because...
tell me about the shot that you missed from a 3 inches off the line.
Well, I prefer to go for... So you scored your first goal the other day. Congratulations. But yes, to be fair, recovering from that and being there to score another one that he couldn't have really missed, to be fair. But he somehow managed to miss about 5 minutes before it. You can take it away because it featured in the Terrace Telly show as well. Didn't it?
Extraordinary. The cross coming in completely unmarked, and it is literally inches off the line. It's proper in the category of harder to miss. And like you say, I don't want to be too critical of the guy because he went in and scored about 20 minutes and scored about sort of 5 or 10 minutes later, I think it was. But just it had that really worrying moment of like, he just needs a goal. He needs a goal, and then he did that. And like, he's never going to get a goal. He's never going to get that goal, which he's going to get. Yeah, like you say, that was a proper grind out performance for us on that day. As you say, the Ross County game, we kind of felt a bit. So we sort of 20 minutes to go, and players sort of just looked a wee bit knackered at that point. So to go to Perth a week later against what was at the time a sort of struggling St Johnstone side a wee bit, to go and dig it out, and particularly have another player sent off and then manage to hold on for the sort of couple of minutes injury time at the end. That was a really sort of positive performance for us there as well.
Yeah, it certainly wasn't a classic. And as you've noted, another sending off, Liam Donnelly sent off. I can't really remember. It was kind of chasing back, wasn't he? He just smashed someone as he did it.
There was the angle of it never really showed what he'd done, but my immediate reaction at the game was that he tried to do the boy, which might be could be entirely unfair, but that was my immediate reaction at the time, that he'd seen the guy. It wasn't like he'd gone out to intentionally hurt anybody, but he'd seen the guy there, could probably get out of the way, didn't he? It felt like a daft thing to get involved in, but again, that was just my immediate sort of looking at it while watching the ball on the other side of the field, seeing him in the middle catch the guy. I thought it was probably, and it seemed unlikely that it was going to be overturned because there was no footage from any angle which exonerated him, certainly.
Yeah, absolutely. We went into October, and remember the days where St Mirren came to Fir Park, and we always regarded it as a pretty comfortable 3 points. We certainly got the comfortable 3 points in that day. James Scott scoring a fantastic opener. Chris Long wrapping it up late on in the game. Pretty much a routine victory, and we go into the break sitting pretty, come back and we've got Aberdeen at Fir Park. And I think time and time again this season we've had these wee reality checks, and this certainly was one of them. Aberdeen were stronger across the park. They had been struggling. Derek McInnes seemed to be under a wee bit of pressure, and he proved the critics wrong in this day, I suppose. Sam Cosgrove really bullied their defence. Barry Maguire, I thought, struggled in that day as well. Niall McGinn always seems to find the net against us, another kind of Brian Graham type character he is. Just a disappointing one, but I think one because of the way that we'd started the season, though, we were able to write off somewhat. It's just a bad day at the office, really.
Aye, it was a weird day. Aberdeen setting out a team which had like sort of sick. It was one of the days where you see the team line up and you go, I don't know where any of these guys are going to stand as the game kicks off. And he dropped, I think it was Viner and Lee into central midfield. And just Viner and Lee absolutely thumped us around the park. And then with Cosgrove up top as well. And that was the moment as well when everything Cosgrove was touching was going into the net. And he was in absolutely terrific form. despite Aberdeen's struggles as well. And it was you say, it was a bad day. It wasn't something to worry about. I didn't really feel on that day. We were sort of short of a couple of bodies, short of a little bit of fitness, I think, there that day as well. I think the first half of the season, certainly, I felt in a lot of the games that we weren't quite as fit as we had been in seasons past. But the second half of the season really did. It felt like we'd got all the guys who'd come from lower league or whatever level they'd come from up to the speed of the game. And I think we benefited from that massively.
Following that, it was a trip to Ibrox. And Devante
always,
Cole,
always a joy.
Yeah, exactly. A Sunday at Ibrox. They decided to turn it into Remembrance Sunday as well, about 3 weeks before the event.
Firing cannons.
Fired the cannon, but didn't fire the ball out the cannon, which I thought would have been absolutely perfect.
a real missed opportunity.
Look, surely that is the way to start the game. 20 seconds before kickoff, have it fire it towards the referee. The referee catches it, places it, and we start.
You could even fire it from outside in, so you get a wee crowd outside. So all the people that can't go can just watch the cannon be fired from outside, and then the referee can catch it inside. I think it's a real missed opportunity. I think that'd be a great day out.
Yeah, well, they're certainly much more enjoyable than what they did. If you're going to have a cannon, at least properly utilise the cannon. I feel that it's really that's just a waste. And then we threatened to spoil. I can't call it a party, obviously.
Well, it was a party.
We had a party for a wee bit of the first half. They missed a penalty as well. Gillespie didn't save it. It hit the post. Devante Cole puts his ahead. Then Defoe scores right in half time, and it was just so frustrating.
I feel that Cole goal has been kind of there's a whole other sort of series of great footballing goals that have been forgotten because they were scored in games in which teams lost or whatever else. Like you remember that McFadden free kick against Hearts when we were 3-0 down, and there was about 40 folk left in third part to actually see it, which was an absolutely stunning free kick, but nobody remembers it because nobody was there and nobody cares because we lost 3-1. But Cole's finish into the sort of past McGregor that day, it really was just a really sort of top quality finish from a guy who was sort of maybe at that point showing why we wanted him in the first place.
Yeah, it's so beautiful as well. Anytime a ball goes past Alan McGregor and hits the net, he has an absolute Nanny Rooney and batters the pitch and batters the post and everything else. You can't even concentrate on the celebrations of your own team because you're just
enjoying Alan McGregor being so raging.
Yeah, it's the same guy basically that gets sent off for trying to take a punt out and booting someone last season.
Jimmy McLaren for Hibs, I think it was, maybe.
He's absolutely brilliant value. Possibly not deliberately, in fact, almost certainly not deliberately, but yeah, he's a good part. Jermaine Defoe scored in half time. If we'd just seen it through to the break, I think we would have really been in the driving seat.
It really felt like sort of your classic Motherwell performance at Ibrox, and that we take the lead and you're in the game and just get to half time, get yourself to half time. Nah. And then with 10 minutes to go, you concede a second goal. In the end, my memory of the game is that we were reasonably comfortable. Throughout the second half, it wasn't sort of wave after wave of last-ditch tackles and stuff. We just sort of did okay and then lost something from a set piece and then immediately opened up and looked dangerous again. But it just felt like I feel like I've seen this performance about 400 different times at various different managers, various different years, various different cast of players, but it's the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Chris Long actually went through in goal, didn't he? But just before Hollander scored, they possibly should have done better. It's just simple goals and silly mistakes. I also remember that game as Bevis McGarry coming in and doing fairly well, and thinking, hold on, this boy's got a bit about him, because Declan Gallagher didn't play that day. So it was Hartley and McGarry at the back, and they fared pretty well, which set completely the wrong tone for what was to follow with him. And we'll go into that as well. So straight after Ibrox, you've got a doubleheader. Home to Killy, home to Livingston. On paper, Graham, you would think, good opportunity to get 6 points, but really, in reality, both sides had finished above us the season before. Livingston didn't finish above us, did they? Kilmarnock certainly did. They were going to be difficult games. managed to edge out a 2-1 victory in both games. We'll start with the Kelly game. They went down to 10 quite early on. Liam Donnelly puts us ahead. Then Dom Thomas equalises. And
it was never a shot. Never in the world was that a shot. The real takeaway from this game was how raging Kelly fans were for about 3 weeks afterwards, which I thoroughly enjoyed as well. The Alex Bruce getting sent off for what was a Stonewall red card, but getting terribly, terribly upset about it for the entire time. That was a really, it was a thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyable time in Pye and Bovril. But there was a whole load of these games at that point where kind of feeling that all the way throughout the season we're like, we're just getting the rub of the green here, we're not getting the rub of the green there. And a lot of the times over the course of a season, you'll see things sort of even out, and you know what, we're either good or we're bad. This season, for so many big parts of the season, I've still no real idea of whether we are actually good, bad, lucky, unlucky. And all like the vast majority of the games this season that we've won or lost, you can put down to a single moment, essentially. And the Bruce sending off is a sort of perfect example of that. Kelly had already lost. I can't remember, was it Del Fabbro in the warm-up?
Yeah, that's right.
I think we know Finlay, lost Finlay in the warm-up and brought Bruce in because Del Fabbro wasn't fit, so they were already down to sort of third and fourth choice centre-halves, and then Bruce goes off, who's your experienced guy that you want to be in there. And so many of the games sort of hinged on sort of wee moments like that as well. Again, like the Rangers game before, just somebody losing, I think it was Hartley losing Hellander at a corner, Bruce getting sent off for, again, as much as I was saying I enjoyed laughing at it, he was a little bit unlucky because it wasn't like a rash challenge. He was just about there, but not quite. And that turned the game, essentially, massively in our favour. And we were quite good on that evening from my memory as well. But yeah, there's more than a normal season. It feels like so many things this season, or so many results this season, hinged on single moments or single things happening.
Yeah, at this point, I think they were all going in our favour. The Livingston game on the Saturday was pretty scrappy. We go ahead, they equalise from the penalty spot. I think Stevie Lawless was only on the park about 30 seconds before he tucked away the penalty. And there's another player that scores against us all the time. Alan Campbell got a goal late on and sets up a run of games against Celtic at Celtic Park and Hibs at Easter Road, where you think, even if we just take a point from these two games, or should we lose both games, it's not going to be a disaster because we've won the two home games. As it transpired, the game at Celtic Park was a fairly routine victory for Celtic, 2-0. The Hibs game was a bit more disappointing for me. I always felt we were in the game. Liam Paul put us ahead. Hibs kind of fired back and went into the break 2-1 ahead. It was right in the balance. We were throwing men forward without really creating a great deal. And then just hitting the break, Horgan scores in the 86th minute to wrap up a 3-1 victory for Hibs. And a game that I think we'll possibly look back on and think, could have taken more from that, possibly should have taken more from that.
Again, it was my abiding memory that day was the feeling that I was never going to be dry again for the rest of my life. It was really a really pleasant day for Hibs to shut us in a tiny wee bit of the stand where the rain was coming directly on top of us, rather than to just shift the banner 4 feet along, which they did at half time, by which point I was already soaked through my underwear anyway. But it was just a miserable day. And then Polworth putting us a goal up within 10 minutes, like, this is brilliant, magic, right? It might be soaking, might be miserable, might be wet, but we're here and we're a goal up. And from memory, certainly the Doige and the Camberry goals were just absolutely catastrophic from us. Just terrible defending. With a habit this season of just making absolutely defensive collapses with just really, really bad mistakes. And again, that was, from memory, certainly the Doige and Camberry ones were ones which jumped out from that at that point. But again, like you say, two away games, Celtic and Hibs on consecutive weekends, after a run of games, which we've won all the ones we're anticipating to win, Hibs just picking up a little bit at that point as well. Celtic, like you say, routine win at Parkhead is not something that you lose too much sleep over. But I do agree, like the Hibs game could have got, had we taken a point there, I think that would have been quite fair, again, sort of similar to the a couple of seasons ago when Moulton Bigger Amana turned it around in the second half and got us a 2-2. It felt that game felt very similar to that one. I think a point would have been fair on that day as well.
Stephen Robinson's alluded to it in many occasions that he doesn't get too carried away with wins, doesn't get too carried away with defeats. You're going through spells where you've lost to Aberdeen and Rangers, then beat Kilmarnock and Livingston, lost to Celtic and Hibs. You kind of wonder what's going to come next. And St Johnstone came to Fir Park, I think, in terms of opposition, notwithstanding the Betfred Cup, I think the performance from St Johnstone that day at Fir Park was right up there with the worst I've seen of any team coming to Fir Park. They were completely blown away. 4-0 victory. Christy Mazinga comes off the bench and scores a last-minute goal. Backing up that performance against Gretna in the friendly, where people thought he was Elliot Freer, he was sure to go on to be a superstar at that point. But a 4-0 victory over St Johnstone, who I've been known to come and turn us over quite convincingly at Fir Park, pretty satisfying. You've got to be delighted with that.
Oh, that was, in terms of a comfortable performance of throughout the course of the season, I would say the St Johnstone was since, with the exception of the Betfred Cup games against sort of Morton and Hannon and things like that, was as comfortable a performance and comfortable a win for us as we saw all season long. They looked miles off of it, and we just were so comfortable. Everybody that day was at it, everyone was on it, everyone was in good form. Our team kind of centres around, in a large part for me, whether Gallagher is properly on it and whether Alan Campbell's properly on it. Both of them there that day and just gave absolutely no time anyone in this Johnstone midfield. Stevie May that day had, I've got a lot of love for Stevie May, and I've always loved Stevie May, but the way in which he was just getting ragdolled around by both Hartley and Donnelly that day was again, it felt like kind of bullying him, because he was just not in the game whatsoever.
And then we talk about the fact when Motherwell play St Mirren, it should be a routine victory, and James Scott put in his best performance in a Motherwell jersey for me in the midweek game at St Mirren Park, a first half double. He also scores, I'm sure it's the first goal, and runs away to celebrate in front of a group of wee boys at the front of the...
That's exactly right. He scores and then runs off to give it to the family stand, which is just... I presume James Scott has no idea where the family stand is at St Mirren, but the fact that he sees it and he immediately is just like, I'm going to give it a bit to you. And it is genuinely like a bunch of... It's where they sit, the Panda Club at St Mirren as well. So it is genuinely just a bunch of kids. And I've got all the time in the world for that. But yeah, I totally agree with you. Scott that night was absolutely terrific. It was, again, reminiscent to it was last season when Hasty and Turnbull turned up. It was because, again, it was in the dark. It was on a Wednesday night game, and Hasty and Turnbull were just terrific in Paisley as well. And it was the fact that Scott went and did the same thing there again as well. If we just play our kids against St Mirren on every midweek evening in a cold evening, I think they'll just go and score goals anyway. He was absolutely terrific that night. He gave Callum Waters an absolutely torrid time. As the game went on, you could see Waters had given up trying to track where the ball was at any point, and it was just focusing on Scott, and Scott just had him on toast for the entire time, which was, it was terrific to watch. Really good fun.
Yeah, and you can obviously have your pie and beans as well.
You get your pie and beans.
So midweek, win 3-0, get pie and beans. It's just it's a winning formula, and we took the winning formula into, that was an absolutely flawless link there, into the Saturday game against Hearts. One of my favourite goals of the season, the way that Chris Long just smashes this one in. Pereira, a goalkeeper that loves to flap at the ball, didn't even see it on the way back out. Just put in so emphatically. Jake Mulroney,
funniest sending off of the season, by comfortably one of the best sending off of the season, because you presume he'd said something, and then you saw the footage on Alba afterwards, like, oh, he's definitely said something there. I don't think there's any doubt about that whatsoever. It doesn't take a professional lip reader to find out quite what Jake Mulroney had said to the referee on the day. Very, very, very entertaining as well.
That was just so indicative of how much the Hearts heads had gone at that point. Yeah. they were an absolute shit show, and it was wonderful to watch. It was so good. Suddenly you've won three games in a week. Rangers are coming the Rangers are coming the following Sunday. And again, it's one of these ones, kind of like that Aberdeen game that we've talked about already, where you think that we're more than capable of being a match for them, and we just weren't. We just really weren't in the game. The only kind of silver lining possibly was Alfredo Morelos is sending off.
Again, speaking of very entertaining red cards.
Yeah, exactly. I think Motherwell fans have always got this kind of inbuilt feeling that we can influence the game, we can get players sent off. And over the years, I've seen it happen. Like, think of Andy McLaren. Andy McLaren must have hated Motherwell fans so much. Like, they drove him to the point where he was wanting to boot the ball into the stand and react.
The one that I always remember.
Dougie Embry as well.
Yeah, the one I always remember as well is Curtin Broadfoot, who'd been playing at right back and got subbed off eventually. I think it was after maybe 60, 70 minutes because his head had just come, he'd lost it altogether. And he gets subbed off. And I just remember the majority of the stadium just collapsing in laughter because he'd absolutely had it. He couldn't cope with it there at all, which was, I mean, it's not something that happens very often. I'd say the times in which it goes against you is probably about 50-50. I remember, was it Zamama who'd taken stick from the stand all day long, then banging an absolutely wonderful free kick and then sliding in front of the stand to great anger as well. So it can work both ways. But I do agree with you that I don't think there's another ground or another part of a ground in Scotland that quite riles up players as consistently as the stand does.
Yeah, yeah. I think, as you say, it has worked out both ways. I can remember, I want to say it was Maurice Ross, actually, that was announced in the team lines for the CIS Cup final.
Yes.
And he goes on to score a goal.
Well, we won't talk about that. We'll skip over that one. That one's fine.
Yeah, he turned to the good side eventually, Maurice Ross. So, all is forgiven. But, yeah. We maybe should stop cheering other people's names when they're read out in the team lines, though. That's definitely an open invite for disaster. Yes. And it's prone to be so. The game before Christmas, a 1-0 win at Rugby Park. Possibly best remembered for the videos of the fans behind the goal as Jake Carroll whips in that absolutely sublime free kick. One of these ones where he's standing over the ball and he kind of addresses it. You just fancy that he's going to put it in.
This was one of my favourite games of the season. I think everybody loves the festive period, Christmas, and Kilmarnock's one of those sort of perfect away days, and you can go. It's not going to take up your entire life to go down to Kilmarnock on a Saturday, but you can go. It's a pleasant place to go. Everyone there's dead nice. It's a nice stadium. Everything about it is just a nice day out. And to go there in a game which could have gone either way. Again, another one of the games which was very, very close. Was essentially in the toss of a coin. And I totally agree with you. As soon as Carroll stepped up, as soon as Carroll put the ball down, like, I'd seen a bunch of Brunescu over the previous couple of weeks. Like, all we need to do is hit the target. If we hit the target, he will score, as it turned out to be, because Brunescu, much like Joel Pereira, it's quite remarkable that both of them have made it that far as a football career, as a goalkeeper, without actually having hands. So just Carroll getting it on target straight out. Like, fine. They're not going to equalise. We're going to take 3 points today. Back up the road. Merry Christmas.
Yep, and that continued into Boxing Day, despite the fact it was far from straightforward. But these are the scenes that you live for.
As a family, we tossed and turned whether we were going to go to Dingwall on Boxing Day, and ultimately we decided, we're not going to Dingwall on Boxing Day. I'm not doing it. I'm not giving up. In quite the opposite to Kilmarnock, which is a bit of a day out. Going to Dingwall is this is a proper commitment in my life, and I'm not willing to do it on Boxing Day. I want to wake up in my pyjamas somewhere at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm not doing it. But I thoroughly regret it, and I've got all the time in the world for everybody that did.
Yeah. What a kind of chain of events. A goal down, counted down to 10 men. Russ McIver, still not 100% sure on that one. He comes off the bench for his debut and bends in an absolute worldie to equalise. I think you've got a share of the spoils. Not a bad result by any stretch of the imagination. until Declan Gallagher pops up with one of the last touches of the ball. The fans are on the pitch. It was just magic, really. There's no other way of putting it.
It was terrific as well, because it sort of continued for another sort of 3 or 4 days afterwards because of that French laddie. And he's like, I'm trying to unpick the story as to why he was in, but then he's French, he's going to use the back door. It was a really, truly enjoyable way to experience a football game as well. And again, Gallagher running down the touchline, swinging his arm about, like, I don't know what he was doing, but just a winding up. I thoroughly enjoyed as well. But yeah, it was a proper sort of, that's one of my, while the Hearts result is the biggest regret of the season in a footballing context, my biggest regret of the season is not going to Dingwall on Boxing Day. I could have figured it out if I wanted to. I couldn't do it. I couldn't bring myself to it, and I thoroughly regret it.
Yeah, I had done the midweek game for the League Cup a couple of years ago, and that was worth saying that's different because it was a 7:45, but the drive back through the night is just horrendous. I was actually following a car thinking it was Desp as well, and I was getting concerned because it was going so slow, and I think he must be falling asleep or trying to phone him. Transpired that he was about 30 miles ahead of us in the A9. It just kind of pretty much summed up that day, although the fact that we won the cup tie, brilliant. But
I always really enjoyed the story of the guys that camped after that game, who went up and stayed in a campsite just along from the stadium, which again I don't think is available on Boxing Day either, so I don't think that's certainly not going to sling me into that either.
I certainly wouldn't recommend camping in Dingwall in December. Should we have the misfortune to be set up there again on Boxing Day of next season, I can assure you I will not be doing that. So it's looking brilliant. We've won 5 games out of 6. Aki's the last visitors of 2019 to Fir Park.
You weren't under the impression that we'd win this game, were you?
After 5 minutes, I turned around to Gordy and said, it's a matter of how many we score today. Because Aki's weren't in the game whatsoever. But then, about midway through the first half, you're beginning to think, hold on a minute, we've stopped playing here. But it took to the 68th minute until Aaron McGowan actually equalises. We had 63 minutes, of which I reckon for about 58 of them, we barely kicked a ball.
Yeah.
And still didn't manage to react to it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, because they've levelled, they've got their backs up, their tails up even, and they go on and score a winner as well, just to drop further salt in the wounds. This was a fucking disaster. This really pissed me off right until the new year. So rarely when Motherwell get beat.
It's not the sort of thing you can't. As an adult, you don't really care it about as much as you do as sort of an early teenager. But no, I can fully understand that. I however, have taken the opposite view. 1 5 games out of 6. What the losing game being against Rangers again, whatever. But coming into that just before New Year's, there's not a fucking chance. Not a chance in the world are we got to take 3 points against the Hackies, because inevitably this is exactly how it's going to play out. It was a truly frustrating game. Long putting us a goal up, as you say, and then just the longer the game went on, like we've just not kicked on at all. And it did, I think we've seen that in the past few years at points, either coming out of breaks or just before the winter break, we just look knackered. We put so much into games that it gets to the last half an hour before the winter break and you can almost see the players. And again, I don't mean it to come across like having a go at them at all. It's something we all do when we go to our work the last half an hour before the Christmas break. Nobody's doing anything. We're all just sitting, drinking cups of tea, eating mince pies and just getting on with our lives. And you could see the longer the game went on, we just looked more and more knackered, and the more they came into the game as well. It was a frustrating way to end the year, certainly. But it was all right, because we've got to Dundee next, which was a guaranteed victory.
Yes, and it was. Dundee hopefully making an appearance in the top three to become the best promo in Scottish football at this moment in time. Heel turns the lot. I suppose, despite a record at Dens, this could have been a banana skin. I know they've been piss poor this season.
Come on now.
We've not lost there since 1963. In reality, though, it was a skoosh. Yeah, Chris Long got a hat-trick. He didn't even manage to smile despite the fact he'd scored three goals. It couldn't have been any more straightforward.
No, it was a really odd night as well, because odd in a number of ways. I ended up in the director's box, and the boy in front of me, that I think it was Jamie Ness, before he was hooked at half time, maybe 10 minutes before half time, swung a leg with an absolutely picture perfect fresh air swing. And to be fair, right, in my defence, had any Motherwell player committed such a picture perfect fresh air swing, I'd have buckled laughing as well, because it's an objectively funny thing to see. But Jamie Ness has this like fresh air swing, and I just squeaked with laughter. It's just like one of those completely, I just couldn't help myself. A Dundonian teenager in front of me in the director's box essentially offered me out, which was a really entertaining experience, and then was having none of it after it. I went out at half time, went to go, well, was stuffing a pie in my face, went to go and sort of apologise a wee bit, and he's having none of it at all and still fizzing about it. So if he's listening, I hope he's still fizzing now, because 3-0, a very, very comfortable victory in front of about 45 Dundee fans.
Yeah, that was incredible how poor the support was. I know it was on the telly, but
yeah.
We certainly took a reasonable support that night. A passage into the next round and a tie against St Mirren. You're thinking,
Here we go.
This is on. Quarterfinals. Aberdeen in the midweek. Aberdeen had been at Fir Park and bullied us, as we've already talked about. They were on top for the majority of this game. Liam Donnelly scored bang on half time. You're thinking it's going to be a bit of an onslaught in the second half. It never really came to much, and that wonderful sound that they all make, well, to be fair, there wasn't many of them on that night either. The Aberdeen fans were heading for the exits well before the final whistle, just seemed resigned to defeat, and they weren't wrong. But it was just joyous watching their utter disdain for their own club, which Aberdeen fans are quite capable of. That was the night that I really believed that we could finish third. Not because I thought we were this juggernaut that was beating everything in sight. It was more the fact that I wasn't convinced that anybody else was very good.
It's been a funny season in that respect, and that there's Celtic are obviously very good. Rangers have in bits and pieces looked okay. Livingston are hugely impressive. Kind of aside from that, there's nobody that I've looked at throughout the course of the season and gone, they're really good. It's been frustrating for a lot of clubs this season. Everyone seems to be either at the beginning of a sort of recruitment cycle or at the end of one way or another. So I mean, certainly at that point, I think it's probably about the right time. I'd agree with you at that point as well. Just Aberdeen aren't going to catch us, because they're not going to outscore us, they're not going to outplay us, they're not going to dominate teams like they have in years past, either defensively or offensively in games. So I fancy us throughout the rest of the season.
And that's kind of ironic, because after this point, it just all went wrong. There was a Hibs game at Fir Park where we really felt quite frustrated not to take all 3 points in a game that there wasn't many chances, it must be said, but we certainly had the better of it. And Hibs, I almost felt like they were celebrating coming away with a point from Fir Park, which I guess is a tip of the cap from them that we are a lot stronger than we used to be. They regarded a point at Fir Park as a good result. You go to the end of January, you lose James Scott and deadline day. Possibly 6 months before that, I wouldn't have been that surprised if James Scott had headed out on loan. Never mind scooping over $1 million for him. It was a terrible bit of business.
Absolutely. I don't think you're alone in that. I think there's a huge portion of us, certainly of us regular online Motherwell fans, who were quite keen to see James Scott go out on loan to someone like Greenock Morton or somebody in the Championship where he can go and play as a centre forward and play week in, week out against guys. And we've seen that in the past. We saw Hasty got a lot of development out of his time at Airdrie, and Cadden being out on loan as well. We've made really good use of that. And I thought, certainly at the start of the season, I thought that would be perfect for Scott. Anytime we'd seen him through the middle, he looked like a player, but he looked like he needed to figure out how to play against bigger players than him. But Robinson deserves a huge amount of credit for managing to fit him into the team in one way or another. And not just fitting him in, but making him a big part of the team to make sure he got a lot of the ball. And like you say, the St Mirren performance earlier in the season kind of showed what he was capable of doing. But he was obviously a very talented footballer. And him losing him and Cole essentially in the January transfer window kind of put us back to square one, where we were at the start of the season, and we were just missing a part of our team. At the start of the season, it was kind of the wide players and Seedorf and Hilton perhaps just not really performing in the way that we wanted them to. While the midfield like Campbell and Donnelly and Polworth were performing really well, the wide players weren't really there. Cole wasn't really at it yet. And as soon as you took Scott and Cole out of the team, it became hugely noticeable, certainly.
Yeah, Rolando Ahrens came in from Newcastle United, but it wasn't a like for like. And I think from that point forward, they desperately missed the influence of James Scott. Maybe a lot owed to injuries to Chris Long and silly suspensions for Chris Long as well, yeah, which I'll mention in a wee bit. The Livingston game, I was very fortunate. I had just moved in to a new place. And
you had plans on that day.
And of all players to score the winning goal, Aaron Taylor Sinclair, a man that contributed so much to Motherwell Football Club, stabbing us in the back. Final act of deception from Aaron Taylor Sinclair, scoring the winning goal. And then, last minute, we almost actually scrape a point.
Like you're saying, with the things going one way or the other, that if that Hartley goal goes in, number one, it's absolute daylight robbery from us because we've been murdered for the 90 minutes. But again, just that, just creeping past the post, that's the difference between there and a point. And as I said, it just feels like a season where there's just like an overload of these single moments in games. I never really subscribed to that idea of being single moments in games turning them. But this season, it's kind of difficult to argue against it, given that it's week in, week out, we're getting them.
Yeah, we didn't have a great opportunity to bounce back in the midweek Celtic at Fir Park. You're going to come up against teams that are just better than you on occasions, and it certainly was the case. It ended up 4. It could have been more, really. Celtic were just so in control. Despite that, I think it was around about 75 minutes, McGregor makes it 3-0. Edward did another 5 minutes later, so it could have been a wee bit more respectable. Possibly quite similar to the 2-0 game.
That's
Celtic
Park. I think so. Fairly routine for them, but that game really sort of felt like a proper moment of, oh, this is what they've got, this is what we've got. And I went and looked at this again a couple of days ago, and in the second half, the game's kind of over and done. We bring on McKeever, Seedorf and Mazinga. They bring on Ryan Christie, Tom Rogic, and their £3 million centre forward, Patrick Klamala. This is a very much in a sort of have and have not scenario, and I think we're very much in the have not scenario here.
Yeah, absolutely. The following Saturday was the Scottish Cup tie against St Mirren. This and the replay, in fact, perhaps are there as the with the Accies game as it's just a real frustration. I thought we completely controlled this game. I really thought we were 1-0 up. It was just a case of, if we get that second goal, the game's out of reach. We didn't manage to get it. So many chances.
Yep.
The equaliser with 16 minutes to go. Even then, we've got chances to go on and seal it and not have to have the game at Fir Park. I was quite surprised after the game, though, the reaction from the players. I know it was a hellish day, it was absolutely disgusting, but they seemed really pleased almost to have got a result that would keep us in the cup. I really thought we should have done it on the day, and that's when the nagging doubts start to creep in.
Aye.
Why are we so happy we've got a replay, we've still got to actually beat them this time?
I've long, since the days of Andy Dorman, I've always had like a disproportionate fear of St Mirren. I mean, you go and play Rangers and Celtic and you lose, fine, whatever. And like you say, you lose to an Aberdeen side, or you lose to Hibs or whatever else. But they're bigger clubs, bigger resources, probably have more, or definitely have more money to chuck around on players. St Mirren are very much of our level. And the seasons where Andy Dorman used to just take us to bits have long scarred me since then. So I've always had a real fear of going to St Mirren. We should have won it on that day. The only real sort of big positive from that day, I felt, was sort of the, you began to see why Robinson was so keen on Mark O'Hara. That one, the replay as well, despite it being a game that we lost, I thought O'Hara in that game was absolutely sensational. And the more that we saw of him, we kind of saw the value in him, and certainly it looks very much that we're going to collect him for next season as well, whenever that might be as well. So I'm all for that in the meantime, but I really thought that was O'Hara sort of highlighting and announcing himself to us, really, why he was meant to be there.
Yeah, he's certainly been a real standout in the latter part of the season. After St Mirren, it was at the midweek game against St Johnstone, and unfortunately I did make this one. We scored a hilarious equaliser. That's definitely a highlight. Xander Clark, not really sure his Scotland credentials, with a quite extraordinary bit of goalkeeping. We then let a bang average St Johnstone team absolutely batter us. We bring on Christy Bazinga because he scores bicycle kicks, and he scored against St Johnstone previously in the season. He comes on after, let me see, he came on after...
He comes on in 69 minutes.
Yes.
Sent off on 82.
Yep. For a second booking.
For a dive.
Which, I can remember going back to the car, and there's people saying, there's no way he dived. It was like, maybe the stream is clearer than what I've been able to see, so I'll give him the benefit of the doubt here, although it looked very much like a dive from where I was sitting. Then I see it later on, and I'm, fuck's sake, you've got to be kidding me on. Like, I don't think, and I always think you can overreact in these situations, but for me, that's one of these ones where, and we've got a manager as well who is a bit partial to calling people out and kind of, I don't want to say throwing them under the bus, but he certainly doesn't let them, he's not shy in letting them know that it was their fault.
Yes.
He didn't really do that with Mazinga, which completely baffled me.
I kind of took the view that I presumed Robinson had such a white hot rage going on that there was absolutely no point in even mentioning it, because if he mentions it, he's going to be still standing there ranting about it now. But just judging by the way in which Robinson kind of seems to carry himself the majority of the time, I do not fancy at any point being Christy Mazinga and sitting in the dressing room waiting on them to come in, particularly after Chris Kane scores in the 90th minute.
No, I would have been trying to flag a taxi and just get to the train station or something like that. It's not, you would not want to be still sitting there, particularly when Chris Kane scores in the 90th minute, and you begin to think that our fortunes are heading in the wrong direction. Fast forward to the following Tuesday, half time, Motherwell 1, St Mirren 4. We're for all the world out the Scottish Cup. And then there's sometimes these remarkable games, isn't there? Like, we were talking with Keith Lasley and John Sutton about the Hibs 6 each game, and talk about when it was 6-2. What's your thoughts there? And John Sutton's reaction was, you're not thinking about, in any way, getting back into the game. You're thinking, don't lose a seventh, don't lose an eighth.
Don't become a record.
Because it's kind of there, and I wonder when the last time St Mirren were 4-1 up at half-time in anybody.
Bearing in mind
they played a junior side in the previous round and didn't win that emphatically.
I absolutely loved this game. Like, every bit of it just played. By the time we got to half time, so they scored just before half time to make it 4-1, and by that point I've gone through the stage of being right, we're in this game, or well, we're in the game, we're back, or we're a goal down, we're back in the game, like, this isn't good. Hartley scored an own goal, and then the fourth goal just before half time had taken me through to just be like, this is some carry on, like, and then immediately coming back out. And the sort of change at half-time with O'Hara coming on particularly. And immediately, we just looked more aggressive all over the park. Like, oh, we'll get a goal. If we get a goal, we'll see what happens then. And just the way the game carried on was just, I had such a, as while we lost that game, which is obviously disappointing, I cannot quibble with the £10 worth of entertainment, was it £10 or £15 worth of entertainment I got on the Tuesday night of the Scottish Cup replay. I absolutely loved the game. I would really, while the Scottish Cup, while we're all quarantined in the Scottish Cup, just putting games on tele or putting games on the live stream, just put this on again. Put this game on every day because you'll always find something else in the game to take from it. It was incredible, an unbelievably fun watch despite losing the game.
Yeah, it was. It was a fantastic comeback. The team showed great character to get to that point. And then penalties were just... I don't think there was one Motherwell player that stepped up that night that I actually thought was going to score a penalty.
No, I was. I spent most of the penalty shootout looking at the back of the main stand. I was like, I can't. I think I've maybe seen Motherwell maybe one penalty shootout before previously. But I was like, if I don't have the nerves for it, I don't think I can really hold it against the players for not having the nerves for it either.
It's only £25 to go to New Douglas Park these days, and every penny is worth the enjoyment out in the next game. After a 4-4 on the Tuesday, it was 0-0. It was rainy. It was utterly shit.
I have absolutely nothing to say in this game whatsoever. I was in Manchester on Craig Fowler's stag do. Saw the result, saw long it was sent off. I don't have no interest in this whatsoever. I'm not going to go back and watch. I will generally go back and watch the highlights and see what whatever else is going on. I'm not doing it. This game of the season is a complete black spot, and I don't get the impression that I missed anything in doing so.
No, the only kind of standout moment was the kind of Undertaker death stare that Stephen Robinson gave Chris Long as he was walking off the park. Eyes almost rolled back into his head, and he just was missing the kind of finger across the throat to say that you were finished. But Long was just idiotic. It was such a stupid red card, despite the fact I actually think he was kind of hard done to in his initial booking. It's one of these ones that you're kind of on the referee's radar, so don't do anything stupid for a wee bit if you can possibly avoid it, and he was incapable of doing so. The last kind of negative point that we've got to discuss would be the Tuesday night, and when St Mirren come to Fir Park, it's always a really difficult game, and unfortunately, more often than not, they come away with something. And yeah, from absolutely bossing St Mirren since they came back up, suddenly they were a real thorn in our side. And
you may know better than me on this as well, but I was under the impression that we had Jonathan Obika on trial before the season started. And I don't know whether this is actually right or not, but I think, I'm sure it appeared on one of the various Motherwell threads on the internet that we had Obika on trial. And given how the season's gone, I mean, we'd have been in the Scottish Cup. We'd have got 3 points here solely on the basis that he doesn't play for St Mirren.
Yeah. The thing is, I did a bit... previewing one of our games against St Mirren, three programmes against St Mirren this season, and when you've got to kind of pick three to watch, it can be quite difficult at times, particularly when you're not watching them every week. That sounds really, really like a slant in St Mirren. It's not really. Don't get me wrong, I don't really give a shit about St Mirren, but Jonathan Obika is the guy that scores their goals. His goal scoring record across his career has been really, really poor. So again, on this night, we made him look like quite a player. The one that I thought we kind of ignored was the boy Dermis, who played quite well in the game at New St Mirren Park, or what it's called, Simply Digital Arena, or Simple Digital Arena. The first game, the 1-1 game, he was excellent that day. And he got the winner in this night, but I don't know about you, you're going into the closing stages, the game looks absolutely nailed on to be a 1-1 draw. At that point, you're almost kind of thinking, should we really get an on St Mirren here? Because we always seem to transpire or find a way to lose games that are just not there to be lost.
Yeah, it's like the sort of perfect, it's the sort of midweek game evening under the floodlights, which should be an exciting thing, and a lot of times is an exciting thing. But what it reminds me of is like Paul McGowan slashing one in from like 30 yards out and stuff like that. Like, these are my memory of midweek games at Firth Park, and games that we shouldn't be losing, but somehow losing to big thumping goals and stuff like that. That was, again, that one was frustrating. But at that point, I was just quite happy to see the back of St Mirren for the rest of the season. It was a case of all we need is essentially about a point. I think we made a point, 3 points by that point, 4 points by that point. If we get 4 points between now and the split, we just don't need to play St Mirren again. And that's the only thing I'm interested in at this point. I just don't want to see them again. I don't want to see Jonathan Obika again. I just don't want them anywhere near our team again, because all it's going to do is frustrate me and upset me.
It's worth noting, at this point, we're still jumping between third and fourth in the league, because Aberdeen...
like you say, nobody's won. Aberdeen can't win games.
No, they weren't really interested in both of them. Livingston are running together, but they're not really consistent enough. Hibs just can't seem to find a run for them either. So it looks like we're still very much in the mix for Europe. Wednesday, 4th of March, as it stands, the last time that there was any competitive action at Firth Park, who knows when the next time will be. That game, Liam Fontaine scores after 3 minutes. You're thinking, this run is...
head and hand stuff.
This is just a disaster. But Mark O'Hara, who I would say on that night put in his best performance in a Motherwell jersey, was absolutely outstanding. Alan Campbell, who I think has been showing a wee bit of signs of legginess, and not really surprising given he's been playing international football during the summers as well. Not really had much of a break since breaking into the team under Mark McGee. So we're going back a good few years there. And one of the most consistent performers in the team. But I thought he was showing a wee bit of signs of fatigue. He was another that had a great night that night. He bagged a double. Tony Watt comes off the bench and wraps up a 4-1 victory. A 4-1 victory that you would have certainly accepted at 3 minutes in and 1-0 down.
At 3 minutes in, just completely missing, once again, essentially the biggest human being on the park in order to slot one home, was a proper sort of, after the run that we'd been on, and sort of struggling just a wee bit in the St Mirren games and the not failing to beat Aki's, sure, the fuck, we this is the last thing we possibly needed. And in the end, I think had we not conceded, I think we'd still have comfortably won the game 4-0 instead of 4-1. We just, it was the way that the player, I remember sitting in the main stand looking at it, all the players sort of turning around, walking back to the centre circle. It did feel like a very much like a, right, let's fucking sort this out. Let's get back to work, lads. We've not been doing this properly. Let's just get back to work and go and win the game, which it was. I remember at the time thinking it was really notable that it wasn't like a, despite the run that we'd been on, and as you say, with Robinson not getting too carried away one way or another, but the players just head up, right, let's go and win the game because we're better than this. We know we're better than this. Let's go and do that. Again, when you're talking about St Johnstone and sort of poor performances at Firth Park this season as well, Ross County were bang up there as well for that as well. The midfield that they put out that night was miles off of it, and it was so notable with O'Hara and Campbell, and they're just throwing bodies around like there was no tomorrow. And I think I do agree with you with the amount of games that Campbell has played. It every so often just sort of pops up and goes, you know, he could probably do with just a week out. And I think this game in particular with O'Hara in midfield, who by that point was looking like Dolph Lundgren running about in the centre of the park, just gave Campbell that little bit more freedom to not like rest and shirk what he's meant to be doing, but maybe just accept that somebody else is going to cover the most ground tonight and you just go play a bit of football. Very, very good.
Yeah, it was an excellent performance and an excellent result. Final game of the season as it stands just now. 7th of March, a game at Tynecastle. Hearts bottom of the league, Graham, and as it stands for them, they'll be relegated to the Championship. We don't know what circumstances will follow. I'm sure there'll be a few twists and turns, that's for sure. Chris Long put us ahead. He's not the happiest of guys, is he?
Like, seeing him crack a smile sort of after this goal really feels like it feels fitting that the season is I mean, if the season is going to end on this game, it feels fitting that the game finishes, the season finishes on this game when Chris Long smashes one in and finally sort of cracks a bit of a smile as well at the end of it. I really enjoyed the celebration as well. I have no understanding of it. I wouldn't take a guess at it, but I really enjoyed it. If that's going to be his thing and that's going to be his bit, then I'm all for it because I'm going to start doing it at fives.
But I was kind of hoping that he just wasn't going to get back up.
Just gonna sit there, refuse to move into his own half again, and Hearts have to go home.
We did concede early in the second half, and Tynecastle's a difficult place to go. It's such a cliche, and I know most teams are winning there, but
yeah, it is a cliche, but it is also one of those things that's also entirely true. And again, we've really struggled there over the past few years as well. And in the end, I remember leaving the game, kind of felt like, you know what, a point was probably fair. They could have won it. We could have won it. Naismith had a couple of great chances. That Hilton volley, it was the Hearts camera from behind them, caught it beautifully. And just see the bend of it all the way around. I was convinced it was in. As soon as it left his toe, I was convinced it was in. And couldn't believe Slamal had put it around the post. And at the time, I thought it was one of the best saves I'd seen all season. I'm still not to be convinced otherwise of that. It was a terrific, terrific save from him. But ultimately, it turned out to be an absolutely vital point, which at the time, I don't think any of us would ever really have appreciated quite how vital it is. But quite all the things that have played out since the 7th of March, it has turned out to be one of the best points we'll have at Tynecastle in I don't know how long.
Yeah, that's it. And here we are, over a month on, starved of football. Of course, there's a million and one more important things going on right now. We don't know when we'll be back, and we hope it. I guess we just have to hope that it's not too long. How would you reflect on the season? It seems a bit underwhelming that we've obviously had a good season, and finishing third for a club like ourselves is a massive achievement, no matter how it is achieved, I guess. It would be nice to do it on the park.
I'd fully agree with that as well. Like the fact that the season has ended where it is, again, kind of feels sort of faintly fitting for this season of Scottish football, because nobody, as I said before, with the exception of ourselves, probably Livingston, and in the end probably St Mirren and Accies and Celtic, are the only clubs that are going to come out this season and think, you know, that was great. We're really pleased with what we did there. We either didn't get relegated or we're going to be presumably awarded some sort of title. Or Livingston, who just continue to impress in terms of the things that we've done. For us, as we've said throughout this, like all season long, it's really been difficult to tell kind of how good, bad or indifferent we are. I think when you look at the other Motherwell sides that have finished third, this team would be fairly comfortably beaten by them, I think it would be fair to say. Maybe not the one with Lee Hollis and goals, but we don't talk about that. But in terms of teams that finished third for Motherwell, this one wouldn't be in terms of our most talented, but it would be up there in terms of one of my most favourite. Like there's been a lot of moments this season and a lot of the players this season that I've really enjoyed watching. And one of the things which, again, as you say, if football isn't to return this season, there's a whole collection of guys in this team who have contributed a huge amount this season in terms of how much I've enjoyed football this year, who are probably going to be leaving at the end of the season, I would imagine. And it does feel a bit of a shame for the guys. For guys that are out of contract who are going to leave, and they're not really going to get the sort of the farewell from Firth Park that they probably deserve. It looks like Mark Gillespie is going to be on his way to the northeast to join Newcastle under hugely oppressive owners. Which again, for a guy who came along, has performed admirably throughout his entire time with us, has saved more penalties than any Motherwell goalkeeper I can even consider to imagine. For him to just sort of be sort of shuffled off feels a bit of a shame in the end. We've got guys like Tate and Hartley who are out of contract as well, who, regardless of what they've been over the past couple of seasons for us, were also part of a team that took Motherwell to two cup finals, which puts them, again, well, the results in those cup finals weren't the ones we wanted to, the journeys it took us there are things which people are going to remember for a long time going forward. The results against Aberdeen in both competitions, the result against Hearts and things like that. It does feel a bit of a shame that they're going to be almost certainly leaving Firth Park, and they're not going to get the recognition and a little bit of love from the fans that they probably deserve for that, or they definitely deserve for their time with us.
Yeah, the only other one I would add into that mix as Charles Dunn, who
absolutely as well.
Of course, has had a horrible run of injuries, particularly in the last 12 months, but certainly has contributed a lot in Claret and Amber. And I guess that is possibly the most fitting note to end it on. It does feel like a real shame to be able to, or to have to kind of write off careers at Fir Park on this note, that they've not had this end off. I think there is just that much uncertainty and not knowing how contracts will work. I guess that will be one of the advantages should the season be ended prematurely, that at least clubs will know, they'll have a rough idea in terms of negotiating contracts and won't have to be looking for strange extensions or anything like that. It'll maybe fit in more with the transfer windows and such like, but I guess it's all speculation and there's not real
absolutely
any sense in debating that with there's people much more intelligent than me trying to make sense of it and coming up very short, so I'll leave it to them. Graham, it's been good fun, this.
It's been magic. I enjoyed this season much more than I remember enjoying it.
Well, I think January to maybe late February maybe spoiled some of the good memories that came earlier on, but it has been good. For all the world, it looks like third place and hopefully European football when normality resumes. So thank you very much for that.
Cheers, thanks for having me.
You've been listening to the MSC Podcast. I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, thank you, goodbye. Come in. Rumbling through the ether, take a ride in Aquila. Cost you 30 liras, push you dealer, hits the meter. A shrewd operator in the shadow of a beacon. Have a dirty weekend, interesting proposition. Insinuate and listen. What a way to make a living. To the river, throw my hands like a reverend. Triple sixties, double sevens. When I get down to this, cut catalyst, cut. For a revolution.
I got something sweet, what you call sin, so you lose.